Didn't help me a whole lot because I'm beyond that. But I did find some inspiration. And a little lady by the name of Tamei Watanabe. Now, she's a little Japanese lady that broke her own record. She climbed Mount Everest when she was 63 years of age. And she climbed it again when she's 73 years of age. That's pretty awesome. So I've got a new hero, something to look forward to. I'm doing good just to get up in the morning. I'm not talking about scaling Everest or anything, but nonetheless, if she can do it, I'm inspired. Amen. So we can do well. It's not all over, folks. Amen. You don't have one foot on the, you know, in the grave and one on the banana peel. Amen. You got a little better hope than that. Amen. I love what the scripture said. Jesus didn't say, upon this banana peel or upon this rope, I'll build my church. He said, on this rock. Don't you ever forget. You're not hanging. Amen. I hear people say, you get to the end of your rope and tie a knot and hang on. Well, we're not hanging. Amen. Jesus didn't come to hang you. He came to give you something to stand on. Amen. When the world's on fire and foundation shaking, you've got something to stand on today. God gave you a firm foundation that will not pass away. Amen. We're studying today about Joseph, a child of vision. A child of vision. And I really like Joseph. In all of the Old Testament, he is the one character that is most like Jesus Christ. And I find a lot of inspiration in the life of Joseph. So we're turning there today. We're going to see if we can get this business to cooperate here. Alrighty. A focused thought. Joseph viewed the circumstances of life in the proper perspective, realizing that what God had promised him in his visions would come to pass. They would come to pass. And then a key verse comes from Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. So God can take what other people intend to hurt you, and God can make it help you and others. Amen. And then from the book of Genesis, chapter 37, beginning with verse number 5, our text, it said, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. I find that very interesting. Just shared a little dream, and they hated him for it. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed, for behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheep. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it to his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee in the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying, and his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. Amen. And so we're going to talk about Joseph, a child of vision. You may be seated. The Lord bless you. Not all dreams have significance, but some do. Dreams come for many reasons. Everybody dreams, whether you remember it or not. It's a part of what we do. There are some dreams that we remember. There's some that we don't. There's some we wish we didn't. But there's some we would like to keep dreaming. Have you ever had a dream you just wish you could keep sleeping so you could keep dreaming? Didn't want to wake up because it was good. I'm just going to say most dreams are not that significant. But every now and then, God would give a dream. Now, this happened to everybody. But to some people, God speaks through dreams. And he did in the life of Jacob. If you remember, Jacob had a dream, didn't he? Wasn't because he deserved it. Now, let me just say this. However God speaks to you, don't let that give you the big head. It's not about you. It's about God. And you know, some people, you know, God does something for them kind of special, and they get to thinking, well, I'm special because God, I know my dreams mean something, yours don't. Ha, ha, ha. Well, what an immature attitude. It's not about us. It's about him. I said that to say this, that Jacob was not in a good situation when God gave him a precious dream. As a matter of fact, he was a scoundrel. He was a scalawag. He was a deceiver. He was a thief. He was a liar. He wasn't a very good man at that point in time. So when God talks to you and gives you, he may give you a dream, that doesn't mean he approves of the way you are right at that moment. It means that he may be wanting you to improve some things. And by the time God got through with Jacob, he was a pretty good guy. So God spoke to Jacob, and then he spoke to his son Joseph in dreams. In the book of Joel, there's a beautiful verse that Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So the Lord was given a significance that he sometimes speaks to people through visions and through dreams. Sometimes he does. And he did in the life of Joseph very significantly. So that's what we're going to be talking about here today, is the dreams that God put in the life of Joseph. A person who, like Joseph, recognizes the divine origin of heaven-sent dreams can put his entire life into eternal perspective. Now, if God tells you something, whether it's through a dream or an audible voice or a spiritual impression, whatever it is, however God speaks through a prophecy, if it's heaven-sent, you can latch on to it and it will come to pass. It will come to pass. So it is something that you will realize in time, because God intends to bring, and he will bring, his word to pass. Amen. And so let's look a little at Joseph's early years and put some of this into perspective. First of all, Joseph was a miracle baby. If you remember the story of Jacob and Rachel, actually, Jacob had two wives. The first was Leah, and then her sister Rachel. And he loved Rachel more than Leah, and that's quite a story all in itself. God favored Leah, and she began to bear children. And Rachel couldn't bear children. She was barren. And so she gave Jacob her handmaid to be another wife so that he could at least have children from her side, as she saw it. So sure enough, she began to bear children to Jacob. And then when Leah saw that, she gave Jacob her handmaid not to be out. Isn't this amazing? Competition, what it can do. Have you ever seen competition in the church? Amen. It's not about competition. It's about cooperation. God doesn't want us to be competitive. He wants us just to cooperate together. You know, I won't get into it, but I've seen all kinds of competition in the church. You got to be careful, folks, about motive. Why are you doing the things you do? Why do you do the things you do? They were just doing it. It was a competition between the sisters. And it was something else. It caused a lot of trouble. It always does. Well, in time, God favored Rachel. As a matter of fact, the scripture says God remembered Rachel and hearkened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bare a son, and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph. So Rachel did have a son by the name of Joseph. Now later, she had another son by the name of Benjamin. And while she was giving birth to Benjamin, she died in childbirth. And that was a tragic story. But so Joseph then was a miracle baby. God actually gave Jacob this son by his favored wife, Rachel. And because of that, Joseph was favored by his father. Let me just say that in families, in a time, we show favoritism between children, we're going to cause jealousy and discord. That's right, jealousy and discord. And that's even true in a congregation and in any group of people. When you start favoring people, and we call them cliques, you know, and you start dividing groups and doing this and that. I'm not saying that we have to have certain committees, certain groups to make things work. Amen. Brother Holly used to say that you can appoint committees, but a committee can't pick up a match. Somebody has to be appointed to do it. That doesn't make it special or anything great. It's just you're the one appointed to do it. And somebody also said that a camel is a horse that was designed by a committee. So maybe something to that. I don't know. But there, we have to have certain groups to make things work. We understand that. But understand that we're all the same in the body of Christ. Everybody in the body of Christ is in the body of Christ. And what greater honor could there be? So be careful about little jealousies and things that come up because somebody's doing something that you think you might like to be doing. And so be careful about that, all right? We're not trying to cause favoritism where everybody's important. Everybody is in the body of Christ because he put us here. That's why you're in the body today, is because God put you in the body. So Joseph was a favored son by his father, and it was obvious that he was. It was obvious to at least to the other brothers. He had 11 brothers. Isn't that amazing? 11 brothers. Pretty good sized family here. And out of the 11, he was the favored son. As a matter of fact, his father made him a special coat. It's called the coat of many colors. According to the Septuagint, that coat was a sign that he was going to be the leader of the family. It had a significance that indicated that his father had placed blessing and favoritism upon Joseph. And his future was set. And again, that caused jealousy among his brothers. And then Joseph, I don't know that this was the will of God, but it's what happened. Joseph, being 17 years old, notice that, 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, and his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now, we have to, because we don't know the details of that, we just have to take it at face value. But I will say that nobody likes a tattletale. Was he a tattletale? I don't know. I don't know the details. There are some things that need to be shared. In wisdom, they need to be shared. In the right way, in the right time, they need to be told, but very carefully and with the right motive. That word keeps creeping up, doesn't it? The right motive. You've got to have the right motive of why you're telling on somebody. All right. And if you're just telling to get somebody in trouble, that's the wrong motive. Remember that? Remember telling on your brothers and sisters? You know, get them in trouble. Make you look good. Get mama's eyes off of you so she didn't see what you've been doing. Wrong motive. Amen. So, but Joseph told his father, and of course this caused his brothers to hate him, jealous, and so it was a problem. It was very problematic in the family. And then Joseph was envied by his brothers. He was envied because, his father loved him more, it's obvious. He had a favored position. It was obvious. He was the pet. It was obvious. But also, he was envied because God spoke to him through dreams. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him, and his brethren envied him. So he was envied by his brothers. They did not look peaceably, could not speak peaceably to him. And that's a sad thing, isn't it? It's a sad thing to have family where you can't get along. And it's just full of insults and threats and rude comments and hatred. That's a bad environment to grow up in. And, but that's how it was for Joseph. His brethren didn't like him. But, you know, Joseph was able to rise above that. Even though his brethren hated him, we don't find him hating his brothers back. Isn't that good? Could I just say today, if somebody doesn't like you, doesn't mean you can't like them? I've always loved what Brother George Glass Sr. said. When people came to Brother George Glass Sr. and they said, "Brother Glass, you know what your enemies are saying?" He said, "I don't have any enemies." They said, "But Brother Glass, you do. You know what they're saying?" He said, "I told you, I don't have any enemies." Now, they may not like Brother Glass, but Brother Glass wasn't going to fall to that level. He still loved them. And he just wasn't going to play that game. He rose above all that. That was the attitude and the spirit of Joseph. They didn't like him. They hated him. But he didn't fall down to that level. He just rose above all that. And he still loved them anyway. And that's the love of God and how he can shed abroad his love in our hearts. And then Joseph's visions were the things that, well, kind of got him in trouble, but also got him out of trouble. It said, "And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field." Hold on to that word, sheaves. "And lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more. It's the second time we read that. "For his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and behold, and told it to his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed the dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." Wow, it's getting stronger, isn't it? And so these dreams were from the Lord. Now, there's debate on whether or not he should have shared this. I don't know. It did bring about what it was intended to bring about. But I don't know if God could have done it a different way. Maybe he could have. I don't know. I do think that we need to be very careful and very wise with our words and who we share things with. And again, the motive of why we're sharing what we share. Amen. And be very wise choosing the time and the place. There are things that need to be said, but sometimes the timing has to be really, really right. I have a lesson that I've taught a few times called How to Have a Good Fight. And one thing that you need to do in having a good fight is to choose the right time and the right place. There are things that husbands and wives need to say to one another, but you need to be careful when you say it and how you say it. That's just as important as saying it. It needs to be said, yes. But it must be said at the right time and the right way, or it's just going to cause more trouble. And so that's very important. And I don't know if he maybe could have shared this in a different way, but whatever happened, happened. That's all I know. I just know the story and how it all came about. Now, when he shared the second part of this dream, of the second dream, it actually brought a rebuke from his father. Jacob said, well, let's read it. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? You see, most of these brethren were older than Joseph, and certainly his father and mother were to be more honored than Joseph. But this was not about Joseph. This was about deliverance. They didn't know that yet. None of them did. But that's what this was all about. God was telling Jacob and his sons and Joseph how he was going to deliver the people and what he was going to do. But they couldn't see it at that time. And most of the time, you cannot. When God gives you a dream, there's a lot of things you don't see. A lot of things you don't see. And certainly, there were a lot of hidden things in the dream of Joseph. But the Bible did say that Jacob, that, you know, he had some divinely inspired dreams himself. It said that he observed the saying, or he wondered what the dreams meant. He, kind of like Mary, when the angel spoke to her, the Bible said she hid things in her heart. When Anna, the prophetess, and Simeon, the prophet, spoke things concerning Jesus, it said she hid them in her heart. She pondered, what does this mean? And in time, she understood. So we don't always get it all right at the beginning. It takes a little while. Now, we see from Jacob's experience that his dreams were not based on ego. But look at his attitude. And we'll see this throughout the story, that Jacob remained humble and loving and benevolent and generous throughout this whole thing. So that's how we know it wasn't based on ego. Dreams that are based on ego and it's all about me and people bowing down to me and worshiping me and me being exalted and me standing up, you see, that's all based on ego. And you wouldn't be humble. You can't be humble and proud at the same time. Humility is a rare thing, actually, to be humble. But we can be, and we are called to be. And by the grace of God, we must be. Amen. But humility's, what was the guy wrote a 500-page book, Humility and How I Achieved It? Well, that probably not a very good read. Save your time and your money. Amen. He didn't know what he's talking about. But Joseph's vision brought some deceitful acts from his brethren. The Bible says that Joseph or Jacob sent his sons to Shechem to feed the sheep. Now, if you know a little bit about in Bible lands, they didn't. It was open country. That was before they started building fences everywhere. And we used to, there are some places in the United States that still have open range. I was driving in Wyoming one time, and I mean, signs posted there. You got to be careful because there's no fences, and the cows and the sheep and the goats have right of way. You just got to stop right away because they'll get in your way. I was driving along just mind them own business. All of a sudden, man, this herd of sheep came trying to cross the road. You talk about confusion. Now, these little dogs around there, little sheep dogs, and they were driving the sheep, and they finally got them across the road, but I had to wait a while, just sit there and wait. I didn't go but a few miles down the road, and they were crossing cows across the road. I mean, a state highway. This is a major state. This is the major highway through that area. But you just stop and wait till they get the cows across. So in Israel at this time, they just took their sheep wherever there was pasture land. And so Jacob said, take the sheep over to Shechem. And they did. And after a while, he sent Joseph. Now remember, Joseph, 17 years old. He's a very responsible young man. You know, some people at 17 are responsible, others are not. But Joseph was obviously a very responsible young man. And so he sends him out to Shechem to check on his brothers. And the Bible says that his brothers hated the very sight of him. Let's read it here in the 19th verse. It said, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." So, that's pretty strong. They really did hate him, didn't they? They said, "We hate him so much, we're going to kill him. Throw his body in a pit." And they were ready to do that. But Reuben, the eldest son, said, "Let us not kill him." He said, "But cast him into a pit here in the wilderness, and we'll just throw him into a pit." Now that was really nice. Well, let's don't kill him. Let's just throw him down the pit and let him starve to death. We'll be nice. But Reuben really did have a plan. Reuben had good intentions. His intention was to put him in the pit, and after a while, he'd come back and get him out. That was Reuben's plan. But life doesn't always go like we plan. While Reuben was away, wherever he went, there was a caravan of Midianites passing by. And here's Judah. This is his take on things. He said, "What profit is it?" Everybody say profit. "What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him." He saw a commercial opportunity here. Let's make some money off of this thing. And so he saw an opportunity to make some money. He said, "Let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and let not our hand be upon him, for he's our brother in our flesh." All of a sudden, he's not talking about killing him anymore. Now he's talking about just selling him. Well, I guess that's a little better. Maybe. And so that's what they did. They hauled him up out of the well and they sold him to this caravan on the way to Egypt. And as far as they were concerned, the end of the story. Sold him for 20 shekels of silver. And the last they saw was their brother being dragged off toward Egypt. And that was, as far as they're concerned, that's the end of Joseph. Reuben comes back, finds out that Joseph's not in the pit they put him in. He's beside himself because he thinks that he's responsible for his death and his disappearance, and he's all concerned. And finally, Judah and the brethren say, no, we sold him. Calm down. We just sold him to this caravan." And they took that beautiful coat and they dipped it in blood. And they took it back to the father, Jacob, because they couldn't tell him the truth. And so they each one conceded to lie about what happened to Joseph. And when Jacob took the coat that was his chosen son and his special son, he wept and mourned uncontrollably and broke his father's heart. And the Bible says then that Joseph was taken and sold into slavery in the country of Egypt. I just really like Joseph. He's a great character. If our dream came from God, we can dream on, for it will come to pass, regardless of the seeming hopelessness of life's circumstances. And let's examine what happened in Joseph's life then. And Joseph had a dream. But in that dream, he didn't see the hatred of his brethren. He didn't see that he was going to be cast into a pit. He didn't see that he was going to be sold into slavery when he was 17 years of age. He didn't see that. That was something that his dream did not reveal. But it was a part of it. And that's what happened. You see, when God calls you to do something. He gives you a call, and then there's a time of preparation. You know, we're not ready to fill the shoes that God wants us to fill. We kind of have to grow into some things. And we have to understand that. So you're going to have to go through some things to prepare you to be what you need to be to accomplish what God has called you to do. And it takes some time, some effort, some circumstances. If you're going to need patience, God's got to develop patience in you. You know how He does that? He sends you some trouble. If you have anger issues, God's got to knock that out of you. So you got to learn how to control that anger. So God's going to send you some situations that are going to make you angry. And you know how long you're going to do that? Until you learn how to control it. Because He's developing some things in your life. God put Joseph in a pit. God put Joseph in slavery. He was developing some things in him. And difficult things they were. Well, but we see the beautiful attitude of Joseph. And I just love this guy's attitude. How could you not? I mean, they sell him. He's a slave in Potiphar's house. The Bible said, and God was with Joseph in Potiphar's house. And God gave him favor. He had a good attitude. He had a good spirit. Amen. And because he had a good attitude and a good spirit, it wasn't long before he was the head over all of Potiphar's house. Now just let me pause right here a minute and talk about your job. Did you know that if you have a good attitude on your job, you have a whole lot better chance of being promoted? I've worked with people normally that was grumble, complain the whole time. Ain't making nothing on this job. Hate this job. My wife worked with a guy one time. He said, I hate this job, but I love my paycheck. That was his whole attitude. Well, you know, but if you have a good attitude and a good spirit, and you understand, this guy, well, this man's paying me to do this. Amen. First time I ever preached, they gave me an offering for preaching, and I gave it back. I said, no. I'll never, you know, that was my privilege. I couldn't take the offering for that. And I changed my mind since then, but first time I was a amen. But another guy was getting ready to hire on, and they said, well, what do you think you're worth? He said, oh, I can't work for that. Couldn't survive. No, don't pay me what I'm worth. Pay me what I can survive on. Well, that's he was, of course, said it jokingly, but as an employee, we need the right attitude. We had the right attitude. Have you ever worked with somebody and they said, I'm not doing that. That's not my job. Well, my attitude is, well, pays the same. You know, whatever I'm doing, pays the same. I can clean toilets. That's what I need to do. Pays the same. Whatever else I'm doing, it's not a big deal. Just do it. Have a right attitude. It makes a world of difference. And when it comes time, times get tough and they got to let people go. You know who they're going to fire first? Probably not the person that's been helpful and had a good attitude and a good spirit and a good attitude the whole time and willing to do whatever they ask them to do. I doubt that's the one that's going to go first. It's going to be those grumblers and complainers. Amen. And so, Joseph, even though he was a slave in a household, he had the right attitude. And then, of course, you know the story, perhaps Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph. The Bible said day after day after day after day. Wasn't a one-time thing. It was ongoing. Every time she'd have opportunity to get him alone, boy, she'd do her very best to seduce him. And it was a hard thing. And logic would say, well, Joseph, you know, you could have it all here, son. But the Bible said he wouldn't sin against God. He understood some things. I've got a dream in my life. I've got a call on my life. I've got a purpose for my life. I can't do this because it would be against God to do this. And so he resisted daily until the day came that she grabbed a hold of his coat and he ran. And she took his coat and, of course, began to scream and cry. And people came in. She accused Joseph of trying to rape her and falsely accused. Everybody say falsely accused. Falsely accused. He finds himself in prison. But God was with Joseph in prison. And he was a good prisoner. And it wasn't long before he was over all the prisoners. Now, I know that may not be saying much, but hey, it's better than some things. And so he was over everybody. He was over just right under the keeper of the prison. And again, attitude. Everybody say attitude. Good attitude, right spirit. Amen. Faith in God, faith in his promise. It was keeping him through all this. So he just kept going. And God was blessing him. And God just does that. When you're faithful to him, God has a way of blessing you. Amen. And then God not only kept him in prison, but God kept him from revenge. You know, revenge and a bitter spirit and a vengeful spirit will eat you alive. Now, we know that. We know that. Most of us have spent some time talking to ourselves, having this conversation. Well, you know what they said, and you know what I should have said, and you know what I'm going to say. And you wasted time, however much time, I don't know, but having that conversation in your head. And the next time I see them, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. And all that going on in your head. Now, I know that because not because it's ever happened to me, but because I've observed you. Not really. I know that because I'm a human being, and I've had that conversation with myself. Amen. And then I felt real stupid for all the wasted time. Like the time that, you know, I told you about the guy that ran me off the road doing 70 miles an hour, hit the ditch, bouncing all over the place, you know. When I got control, finally got back on the road, man, I took out after it. I was going as fast as that vehicle would go. I was going to give him a piece of my mind. Amen. And the Holy Ghost said, what are you going to do when you catch him? I said, nothing. Slowed back down to 70. Let it go. That's what you got to do, folks. You know, if you're saved, it's what you got to do. You just got to let it go. I mean, for a minute there, I had vengeance on my mind. But thank God, I couldn't catch him very quick. And the Lord delivered me. Amen. Joseph was not imprisoned by vengeance. Listen to this. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto him, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass all it is in this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear you not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly of them. These are the same guys that sold him when he was 17 years old. And he had the power in his hand to put out their lives like a light. He could have blown them away like a candle. And instead, the Bible said, oh, I'm not God. God meant this for good. This is how God chose to save people. He saw his place in ministry. He saw where he was in the scheme. Why he was there. It wasn't about Joseph. It was about God saving people. Hello? It was about God saving people. Hello? Is about God saving people. That was the whole reason for it. Remember what the dream was? It was about sheaves. How did God deliver the people? Because he put Joseph over the grain houses. About sheaves. Amen. It was about position, moon and sun and stars. And God exalted him, put him in a position where he would be able to do that. Amen. And so God was in all of this, and Joseph recognized that. He had a big head about it. He said, well, God's just using me to do this. God just, allowed me to be in this position for this time to save alive much people. That's how he saw it. And he was kind. And he was generous. And he was comforting. All right. So Joseph was rewarded for his vision. You remember how God got him out of prison. There were two men. There was a baker and a butler. They had dreams. He interpreted their dreams for them. He told the butler that in 3 days he'd be restored to his position. The baker heard that, said, "That sounds good. Let me tell you my dream." He said, "Oops, not so good. 3 days, you're going to be dead." And that's exactly what happened. The butler was restored to his position. The baker was executed. And then he told him before he left, he said, "But don't forget to tell Pharaoh that I'm in here, you know, and I didn't do this." And for 2 years, the butler forgot. But in time, Pharaoh had a dream. Now, here's what I like. Joseph never saw himself as some great interpreter of dreams. He didn't. He didn't hang a shingle saying, "Joseph, interpreter of dreams, bring me your dreams. I will reveal all." He didn't get him a little crystal ball and do a bunch of mumbo jumbo, collect people's money. He didn't do that. He recognized something. God spoke to Joseph. He said, "God will give you an answer." And all the glory went to God. Not to Joseph, but to God. And he always recognized that. He never took glory to himself. I love this part where he goes to Pharaoh. And I like what he said. Pharaoh gave him the dream. And Pharaoh said, "I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand the dream to interpret it." Joseph answered, "It is not in me." Everybody says, "It's not in me." He said, "God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Not Joseph. God. He understood that. And because of that, God could greatly use Joseph. Never claimed it for himself. Amen. And so he interpreted the dream. Pharaoh placed him in the second position to himself. He became, as it is, the prime minister of the country of Egypt. The ruling authority. Now, let's imagine this. Who could have imagined that somebody that was not even Egyptian? He wasn't even an Egyptian. He was an Israelite. Not only was he an Israelite, but he had been a slave. He had been put in prison for accused of rape and thrown in prison. And yet Pharaoh would take him out of prison and in 1 day's time would put him in his chariot wearing royal robes, put a golden chain of authority around his neck. Isn't that awesome? Now only God can promote like that. Amen. You think you're a mover and a shaker? Oh no. Not compared to him. He can open doors that no man can shut, and he can shut doors that no man can open. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, God's so good at promoting, one of these days we're going to pick our foot up from earth and set it down on a golden street. Now that's promotion. We're going to exhale some earthly air, and the next air we take in is going to be celestial air. Hallelujah. We're going to one moment we're going to be looking at earth, and the next minute we're going to see heaven. That's promotion. God's able to exalt like no one else can exalt. Amen. And so God exalted Joseph in Egypt for a purpose. He fed his family. Now, this is very interesting to me, that it's all part of God's plan. God had big plans for Israel. But do you know how many Israelites there were when they went to Egypt? There were 72. Now that's a few folks, but that's not near enough to do what God was talking about. And so they needed to do some growing. So God put them in a place where they could grow. Now it's not a place they would have chosen, but God put them in a place where they could grow. It wasn't ideal as far as they were concerned. Started out okay. The Bible said, but then one day there rose up a, a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And then they were in trouble because their whole favor was linked to Joseph. Now, Israel stayed in Egypt for 430 years, but God had already told that to Abraham before any of this ever happened. God told Abraham that his heritage would be in slavery for over 400 years. He's looking way down the road. And then he brings it to pass in the days of Joseph. That's exactly what happened. Just like the Lord said. But God chose to feed his family this way. God used Joseph's brethren, their hatred and their envy, to bring about something good. Not just for Joseph, but for the entire family and the nation. Again, it wasn't about Joseph. It was God providing for all of Israel, keeping his promises to Abraham, just like he said he was going to do. Amen. Joseph said to his brethren, Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither, for God sent me before you to preserve life. And God sent me before you to preserve you posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Now he said this after his father died. You see how long fear can live? His brothers in the back of their mind, they were thinking, as long as daddy's alive, we're all right. But when daddy dies, things could change. Because that's the way they saw themselves. But Joseph wasn't like that. So after Jacob died, he still forgave his brethren. And he still maintained that all this was God working. And it wasn't just about Joseph. And he said, but as for me, you thought evil against me. But God meant it to good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. God did bless not only Jacob, or Joseph, but all of Jacob's household in Israel, or in Egypt. This is what I find so interesting about the story. The most lush part of the whole land of Egypt was Goshen. Goshen was a virtual paradise of grass and well-watered plains, and that's what you need if you have sheep. But Egyptians looked down on shepherds. They thought shepherds were the lowest of the low. You know what Jacob's family were? They were shepherds. God had this thing about shepherds, didn't he? He chose Moses from the sheep. He chose David from the sheep. Amen. He calls us sheep. We're the sheep of his pasture. Amen. And so... But God selected, and because of they were shepherds, Pharaoh sent them all the way down into Goshen, which was great because they had their own little place down there. And they had the prettiest place in the whole kingdom as far as beauty and grass and water was concerned. They had it all down in Goshen. God provided beautifully for the house of Jacob. And he did it, of course, through Joseph. Then God blessed Joseph with children. He remained that prime minister that he'd been. Joseph was given a wife. Pharaoh gave him a wife. And from that wife, he had two sons. The first one, he called him Manasseh. Manasseh means one who forgets. Boy named Forgetful was his name. Forgetful. Because he said, God hath made me to forget all my toil and all my father's house. In other words, he's saying, I forgot all the bad stuff. One good thing for life is just to forget the bad stuff. I mean, just let it go. You can ruin a lot of good days thinking about bad things. Worried about things that are probably not ever going to happen. My brother taught me a valuable lesson. He said 90% of what you worry about will never happen. And the 10% that does, there's not anything you can do about it. So why worry? Don't spend your days worrying. Don't spend your days in regret. Don't spend your days in remorse over something past. It's history. Get over it. Forget it. Go on. That's what God wants. Now, the devil likes to keep us bound up with a bunch of garbage. He likes to keep you... We talked about Wednesday night and stinking thinking. He likes to make you relive things and tie you down and tie you to the past and tell you how no good you are and what a mess you made and how you'll never amount to anything, how you're such a flop and a failure. He loves to do that to you, but God doesn't. God wants you to forgive yourself, forgive others, make things right, get things right, and then go on. So Manasseh was the first son. And then he had another boy by the name of Ephraim. Ephraim is fruitful. Now, when you study the Bible, in the 12 tribes, there's not a tribe of Joseph. Did you ever notice that? There's no tribe of Joseph. But there is a tribe of Manasseh and Ephraim. In other words, Joseph got two-thirds. Both of his boys got a portion. So it's not the tribe of Joseph, but it's two tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh. They both got an inheritance in the promise. And so God blessed him with children, and God blessed his life. All through his life, God just continued to bless him. Amen. We need to hold on to God-given dreams. Now, if you know it's from God, and it is from God, it will come to pass. But and one way you'll know that is how much ego's involved in it. Sometimes I've heard people pass their dreams off as dreams from God, but I could really tell they were not, because it was all about them. About how God's going to use me and I and myself and I and me and myself and I. And that kind of told me that God didn't have much to do with it. Right? Shake your head like this right here, Jim. Or anything like that, yeah. If ego's all wrapped up in it, it's probably not from God. Because God doesn't use your ego to do it. Matter of fact, he'll crush your ego so he can use you. Because your ego will do nothing but get in God's way. Because he said it real plain. He said, my glory, I will not share with another. So if you're a glory hound, hang it up. You don't have a place in the kingdom. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. His plan. His will. Amen. And we can turn our dreams into a vision for life. Amen. When you understand what God wants and you pursue that, then it gives you a purpose in life. And I like that. I don't want to just live my life just for what? I want to have a purpose for living. I want to have a reason to live. That's what gets you up in the morning. What keeps you going in the tough times? Because you have a reason. Amen. We can rise above our circumstances when we have a reason and a purpose. And that we do. Amen. The Bible said, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of itself, for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the days, the evil thereof. You know, some people try to live 3 days at a time. You ever seen somebody that they still have regrets from yesterday? They're trying to get through today, and they're worried about tomorrow. No wonder they're wore out and slap wore out all the time. Depressed, discouraged, weary, because they're trying to live 3 days at a time. You can't do that. Cut yesterday loose. Don't worry about tomorrow, and just live for today. You'll be all right. And so deliver yourself today. You have permission. Go ahead and do it. Amen. We should forgive others and refuse to become bitter. Everybody say forgive. Did Jesus teach that? The little boy said it this way. He said, and forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who trash baskets against us. Amen. So you get rid of your trash. Amen. And don't hold on to anybody else's trash. Amen. That's the bottom line. Just forgive. One of the greatest favors you can do yourself is to forgive. Just let it go. Forget about it. Amen. Jesus said, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's pretty strong stuff, isn't it? It is. Amen. And then Ephesians chapter 4:3 said, Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Just put it away. Just put it away. Get rid of it. Don't let it hang on to you. Don't let it hinder you. Don't let it hang you up. Amen. It's all about forgiveness. Thank God for Joseph. He was a man of vision and a good example for all of us. Amen. I love Joseph. Again, to me, or in the Scripture, he's one of the most godly men, and he's more like Jesus Christ than just about anybody we find in the Old Testament. Let's stand together right now.